welcome to Sanctum Longinus for this service of carols and readings. Please be seated.
I hope for all of you, you've had an enjoyable Christmas and that you have been able to spend these past days with family and friends, absorbing the Christmas message along with those who are closest to you. This morning we're having an informal service as we reflect on different aspects of the Christmas story. And we're doing that through the singing of some very familiar carols and also with some familiar readings. Some of these readings are biblical readings, you heard them at the carol service, others are not. But having said that, they too are well known. All of us have been on a journey together during these past number of weeks. We journeyed through Advent, a season of preparation for the coming of Christ. We came together on Christmas Day to celebrate the good news of God's gift to all of us of His Son, Jesus Christ. But that was not the end of the journey. Rather, it was in many ways, if you will, the beginning of a journey because the essential Christmas message is Emmanuel, God with us. And that sense of companionship and that sense of support leads us to move forward with a companion by our side. And that companion is Christ. And so the journey that we are on is a journey that continues on. And that is going to be reflected also in this service as we think too of Epiphany and as we think too of the journey of the wise men who follow the star to be where Jesus was. And so there is a sense of continuation. And over every aspect of the journey comes the understanding this is not just any old journey. This is a very particular journey, a journey of faith with Christ beside us. And that is what we have been about these past number of weeks. And that is what I hope you will experience in this service. The continuation of the journey, the ongoing journey, but also the fact that the wise men are leading us and going forward. We too are also going forward. And so we follow the order of service as before you, which will proceed without announcement, and I will invite all of the readers to come up at each point of the service to make their reading, to deliver their reading, and then we will have the opportunity of hearing a different aspect of this journey and how it connects with us and relates to us. Then Canon Smith will give us a short thought for the day to encourage us on our journey. And the service will conclude by our assistant organist Brian Clements playing one of the great organ pieces by Bach, which we heard at the carol service in Judicio Urbani, which is very well known to all of us. And so we come now to our first reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you. This reading by Charles Wesley is the original version of the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I'm finding it a challenge to read it rather than sing it. Hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Come, desire of nations, come fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display thy saving power, ruin nature, now restore. Now in mystic union, join thine to ours and ours to thine. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface, stamp thy image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Let us thee, though lost, regain thee, the life, the inner man. O, to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart.
Christmas Bells by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who lived from 1807 to 1882. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then, from each accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Thank you. Christmas Time by John Clare. Glad Christmas comes, and every hearth makes room to give him welcome now. E'en want will dry its tears in mirth and crown him with a holly bough. Though tramping neath a winter sky, o'er snowy paths and rimy stiles, the housewife sets her spinning by to bid him welcome with her smiles. Each house is swept the day before, and windows stuck with evergreens. The snow is besomed from the door, and comfort the crowns the cottage scenes. Gilt holly, with its thorny pricks of yew and box, with berries small, these deck the unused candlesticks, and pictures hanging by the wall. Neighbours resume their annual cheer, wishing with smiles and spirits high, glad Christmas and a happy year to every morning passerby. Milkmaids their Christmas journeys go, accompanied with favoured swain, and children pace the crumpling snow to taste their granny's cake again. The shepherd, now no more afraid, since custom doth the chance bestow, starts up to kiss the giggling maid beneath the branch of mistletoe, that neath each cottage beam is seen, with pearl-like berries shining gay. The shadow still of what hath been, which fashion yearly fades away.
A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore. 'Twas a night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon, on the breast of the new-fallen snow, gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
A poem for people who might find themselves unable to be together over Christmas, perhaps someone having to work over the holiday period, or family members living in different parts of the world. Candle-lit heart. Somewhere across the winter world tonight, you will be hearing chimes that fill the air. Christmas extends its all-enfolding light across the distance, something we can share. You will be singing just the same as I, those familiar songs we know so well. You will see these same stars in your sky and wish upon that brightest one that fell. I shall remember you and trim my tree, one shining star upon the topmost bough. I will hang wreaths of faith that all may see, tonight I glimpse beyond the here and now. And all the time that we must be apart, I keep a candle in my heart.
Thank you. The Diary of a Church Mouse by John Betjeman. Here among long discarded cassocks, damp stools and half split open hassocks, here where the vicar never looks, I nibble through old service books. Lean and alone, I spend my days behind this Church of England bays. I share my dark room with two oil lamps and half a broom. The cleaner never bothers me, so here I eat my frugal tea. My bread is sawdust mixed with straw. My jam is polish for the floor. Christmas and Easter may be feasts for congregations and for priests. And so may Whitsun, all the same. They do not fill my meagre frame. For me, the only feast at all is autumn's harvest festival, when I can satisfy my want with ears of corn around the font. I climb the eagle's brazen head to burrow through a loaf of bread. I scramble up the pulpit stair and gnaw the marrows hanging there. It is enjoyable to taste these items before they go to waste. But how annoying when one finds that other mice with pagan minds come into church my food to share, who have no proper business there. Two field mice who have no desire to be baptized invade the choir. A large and most unfriendly rat comes in to see what we are at. He says he thinks there is no God, and yet he comes. It's rather odd. This year he stole a sheaf of wheat. It screened our special preacher's seat. And prosperous mice from fields away come in to hear our organ play. And under cover of its notes, ate through the altar's sheaf of oats. A low church mouse who thinks that I am too papistical and high, yet somehow doesn't think it wrong to munch through harvest evensong. While I, who serve the whole year, who starve the whole year through, must share my food with rodents who, except at this time of year, not once inside the church appear. Within the human world, I know such goings on could not be so, for human beings only do what their religion tells them to. They read the Bible every day, and always night and morning pray. And just like me, the good church mice worship each week in God's own house. But all the same, it's strange to me how very full the church can be with people I don't see at all, except at harvest festival.
John Betjeman, who wrote this group of three poems, was a poet laureate from the mid-70s through to the 80s. He became the most commercially successful poet in our lifetime. He wrote in a particular style. You just heard that incredible Diary of a Church Mouse. He was often tongue-in-cheek in his poetry, but you'll hear a serious poem in a moment. He went to Oxford, and he didn't actually proceed to take a degree because he fell out with his tutor, none other than C.S. Lewis, well known in this part of Belfast. But he fell in with others like Auden and Louis MacNeice. MacNeice grew up in the rectory in Carrickfergus, and his father went on to become bishop of this diocese. Betjeman had three great passions in his life. He loved all things Victorian. Like Canon Smith, he was obsessed with trains and railway stations, and the saving of St Pancras Station in London was greatly down to his influence. And he was unlike the poor church mass, a high Anglican, and he loved Anglican buildings. This poem is called Hymn. It was commissioned as a radio program by the BBC. It tells the story of a rector in the 19th century who restored a church that was falling down. He got rid of one of the aisles. He salvaged the timber from that and used it in the rectory. He had the pulpit made a little more fancy by having it made to look like marble, and he got new stained glass in, did all sorts of work. This is to be read and sung to the tune of the church's one foundation. The church's restoration in 1883 has left for contemplation not what there used to be. How well the ancient woodwork looks round the rectory hall, memorial of the good work of him who planned it all. He took down the pew ends and sold them anywhere, but kindly spared a few ends worked up into a chair. O worthy persecution of dust, O hue divine, O cheerful substitution, thou varnished pitch pine. Church furnishing, sing art and crafty praise. He gave the brass for burnishing, he gave the thick red baize, he gave the new addition, pulled down the dull old aisle, to pave the sweet transition, he gave the encaustic tile. Of marble brown and veined, he did the pulpit make. He ordered windows stained, light red and crimson lake. Sing on with hymns uproarious, ye humble and aloof. Look up, and oh, how glorious, he has restored the roof.
Christmas by John Betjeman. The bells of waiting Advent ring, the tortoise stove is lit again, and lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain. In many a stained glass window sheen, from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house the yew will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font, and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say, the church looks nice on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze, corporation tram cars clang, on lighted tenements I gaze where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall says, Merry Christmas to you all. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers, as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers, and marble clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say, come, even to shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true, for if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, both salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie, so kindly meant. No love, the that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine.
In Memoriam by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light. The year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring happy bells across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind, for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor, ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life, with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right, ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease, ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old, ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be.
The Oxen by Thomas Hardy. The Oxen is a poem sometimes known by its first line, Christmas Eve and 12 of the clock, by the English novelist and poet Thomas Hardy, 1840 to 1928. It relates to a West Country legend that on the anniversary of Christ's nativity, each Christmas day, farm animals kneel in their stalls in homage. I'm sorry I left my West Country accent at home. You'll have to do with the Belfast one. Christmas Eve and 12 of the clock, now they are all on their knees. An elder said as we sat in a flock by the embers in hearthside ease. We pictured the meek, mild creatures were. They dwelt in their strawy pen. Nor did it occur to one of us there to doubt they were kneeling then. So fair a fancy few would weave in these years, yet I feel, if someone said on Christmas Eve, come see the oxen kneel. In the lonely barton by yonder coombe, our childhood used to know, I should go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so.
Christmas Carol by Sarah Teasdale. The kings, they came from out the south, all dressed in ermine fine. They bore him gold and chrysoprase and gifts of precious wine. The shepherds came from out the north, their coats were brown and old. They brought him little newborn lambs, they had not any gold. The wise men came from out the east, and they were wrapped in white. The star that led them all the way did glorify the night. The angels came from heaven high, and they were clad with wings. And lo, they brought a joyful song, the host of heaven sings. The kings, they knocked upon the door, the wise men entered in. The shepherds followed after them to hear the song begin. The angels sang through all the night until the rising sun, but little Jesus fell asleep before the song was done.
St. Matthew's account of the wise men coming to see the Holy Family. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Maybe I'm giving my age away when I admit that I recall the singing and the launching of a well-known song, classic country song, recorded by Dean Martin, and I believe subsequently by Johnny Cash and the Everly Brothers. You remember it, I'm sure. Memories are made of this. It's all about a relationship between a man and a woman and contains these words: one girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories are made of this. What seemed to be a key word as we listened this morning to a selection of poems by British and American authors on the general theme of Christmas is that one word: memories. If I single one out, it has to be, I suppose, a visit from St. Nicholas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. That captivated our children, maybe some of your children, and millions for nearly 200 years now. In fact, so much so that on this Christmas day, our daughters, who are now well beyond teenage years, asked that their mum would sit with them and read once again that very well-known poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. Memories at this time of the year are captured in poems, in carols, in Christmas cards, in many other ways also. For Christmas is a time for remembering. But in saying that, of course, it's not all good and not all perfect. And we had instances of that this morning. Alfred Lord Tennyson, in his poem In Memoriam, is lamenting the death of a loved one. And that, incidentally, meant a great deal to Queen Victoria after the death of her beloved husband, Prince Albert. Longfellow's Christmas Bells was written against the background of the American Civil War, the most bloody war ever to have taken place on the North American continent. And even Thomas Hardy, the romantic, was aware of the human struggle for life. At Christmas, It's right and it's proper that emphasis is placed on peace and goodwill. But the story of this Christmas season cannot overlook the violence which contributed to the death of Stephen and the slaughter of innocent children, to the exclusion of the Holy Family when there was no room in the inn, and to the flight to Egypt, highlighting the plight of refugees, to the day and the world in which you and I live. Memories are so important, and nobody can deprive us of them. But as Christians, we must learn the painful and the positive lessons, and try to ensure that, to quote the author of A Visit from St. Nicholas, who was a deeply spiritual person, I believe, we not only liken the Bible to a beautiful old picture which has come down to us in a state of perfection, but we work to ensure that the good memories can help us to continue on our journey of life with realistic aspirations of hope for the future. In acknowledging the infant child of Bethlehem, may it be to him, now and always, that we give all honour and glory. Amen.
The collect for today, the first Sunday of Christmas. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ, born in a stable, give courage to the homeless. Christ, who fled to Egypt, comfort the refugee. Christ, who fasted in the desert, have mercy on the hungry. Christ, who hung in torture on the cross, pity those in pain. Christ, who died to save us, above all, forgive our sin, our greed, our selfishness, our unconcern. Save us today and use us in your loving purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Together we say the family prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remember the words of thee, Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. The offertory hymn number 179, omitting verses 3 and 4. Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. On Tuesday, New Year's Day, Holy Communion here at 10:30, and again on Thursday morning at 10:30. Let us pray. May God the Father watch over you this coming week, this coming year, and always. May you know the love of God the Son, who died on the cross for you. May God the Holy Spirit fill you with power and strength. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.